Welcome to Guide to the Cosmos on webtalkradio.net with your host, Dr. Robert Piccioni, physicist, public speaker, and author of Everyone's Guide to Atoms, Einstein, and the Universe, and his new second book, Can Life Be Merely an Accident? With Robert as our guide to the cosmos, we will explore the frontiers of science and participate in the exciting discoveries of physics, astronomy, and cosmology. Now, providing public access to science, here's your host, Dr. Robert Piccioni.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back. Today on Guide to the Cosmos, we're going to talk about Einstein and GPS. As usual, we have some great images for you on the website. So open a second window, go to our website, guidetothecosmos.com, click on the microphone icon, and bring up the menu of radio shows, and select today's show, Einstein and GPS, from the series Imagine a World Without Einstein. I think almost all of us know what GPS is, the global positioning system. It's the gadget in your car that tells you when to turn left and right and when you're getting to the place that you wanted to get to. But maybe the most amazing part of all of that is this system relies on the discoveries of a man who could never find his own keys, Albert Einstein. So let's talk about what GPS is, how it works, and how all of this has to do with Albert Einstein. As we see on our first image, there are 24 GPS satellites which orbit the Earth 16,000 miles above the surface. And that means that each of them makes one orbit around the Earth every day. And each satellite is continually transmitting its position and its current time in a sequence of radio pulses. And of course, radio is a form of light, so it travels at the speed of light. Now, the key thing is to determine how long it's been between the time the pulse was transmitted and you receive it at your GPS receiver on the surface of the Earth. For example, if the pulse says that it was emitted from the satellite at noon, and your receiver detects the signal a tenth of a second after noon, that would mean that the satellite has to be 18,600 miles away, because light travels at 186,000 miles per second, so in a tenth of a second, it travels 18,600 miles. So we're using the formula that distance equals travel time times the travel velocity, in this case, the speed of light. Well, there was only one satellite up there and it transmitted a signal and you measured how long it took the signal to arrive and you calculated the distance to the satellite and you knew where the satellite was when it made that transmission, then you would know only where you lie on a spherical object surrounding the satellite. You know that you would be, in this case, 18,600 miles away from the satellite, but you have no idea in which direction you would be, just from the data of one satellite. Well, that's why there's a lot more than one satellite. So then your GPS device will measure the distance to a second satellite. And that will tell it a second sphere that you have to be on. And the two spheres intersect in a circle. Any two spheres will intersect in a circle. So now we know that we are within that circle of intersection of the two spheres. So we're getting closer. A third satellite gives us yet another sphere, and that sphere will intersect the circle in two points. And finally, a fourth satellite giving us a fourth sphere will determine which of those two points we are actually at. So it's sort of like triangulation on the surface of the Earth, but since this is a three-dimensional problem, we need to have four satellites to tell us where we are in latitude, longitude, and altitude. And the four satellites also give us the exact current time. Well, all of this is wonderful and it really works. Aha, but there's one issue, and that is we have to know what time it is. Now, that might sound simple, and everybody thought it was simple before Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein showed us that indeed time is relative. It's relative in the sense that different clocks will count time at different rates depending on how fast they're moving and also where they are in a gravitational field. The closer a clock is to a strong source of gravity, the slower the clock will run, as is illustrated in the second slide on our website. Here you see two stopwatches, and one is near the Earth on the left, and the other one is further away from the Earth on the right, and it seems that the one that's further away has counted 15 seconds, while the one that's closer to the Earth has counted approximately 8 seconds. So the clock closer to the Earth is counting time more slowly, and so it will come up with less tick-tocks than the clock that's much farther away. So how does this work? Well, Einstein said that everything that moves up in a gravitational field, everything that moves against the force of gravity, has to lose energy, even light, which doesn't have any mass. He said light loses energy as it moves up in a gravitational field. And this has been confirmed by experiments to very high precision. Now, when you throw an object up against the force of gravity, like a baseball, we are accustomed to the fact that the baseball slows down and eventually comes to a stop, then falls back to Earth. So the object is losing velocity as it goes up. That's how it loses energy when it rises against a gravitational field. But light can't slow down. It always travels at the speed of light, as Einstein told us. So what light does instead of slowing down is it has to change its frequency. Its frequency has to decrease, and so it moves toward the red end of the visible spectrum, which we call red shifting. So looking at image number 3 on the website, we have a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa and someone on the ground with a flashlight shining a short pulse of light up in the air. Now at both the bottom and the top, we have to count the same number of crests of the light wave as it passes by, but we somehow have to measure a different frequency, because Einstein told us that the frequency is going to decrease at the top relative to the bottom so that the light can lose energy. Well, since the frequency is equal to the number of wave cycles divided by the time it takes those cycles to go by, if n, the number of cycles, is going to be the same, and if f, the frequency, is going to decrease, then there's only one option left, and that is that the time, which is in the denominator, has to increase. So if the time is longer, then n over t will be less, and that will give us the lower frequency, as Einstein predicts. So we in fact observe that if we have a clock at an elevated position in the gravitational field, like at the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, that clock will run faster than the clock at the bottom. You are listening to Guide to the Cosmos. I am your host, Robert Piccioni, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Explore Dr. Piccioni's website, guidetothecosmos.com, and check out the spectacular discounts that are available to you, our radio audience. Robert's first book, Everyone's Guide to Atoms, Einstein, and the Universe, makes the exciting discoveries of modern physics, astronomy, and cosmology understandable for everyone. And it was just selected as the best science book of the year by National Best Books. As Robert says, you don't have to be a great musician to appreciate great music, and the same is true for science. If you can change money, you can understand Einstein. Robert's second book, Can Life Be Merely an Accident?, describes how precisely tuned the universe is to support life, and shows how amazingly improbable that is. Go to Robert's website and send us your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows. That's guidetothecosmos.com.
You're back with Guide to the Cosmos. I am your host, Robert Piccioni, and today we're talking about the GPS system and how it owes its existence to Albert Einstein. So just how big is this gravitational time dilation effect? Let's look at image number 4 on the website, and this gives us a tabulation of the magnitude of time dilation in various situations. And time dilation, as the chart shows, will be proportional to the mass of the gravitating object and inversely proportional to the distance that you are away from it. So it's m over r. M, the mass of this gravitating object, divided by r, the distance that you are away. So the Earth is a large gravitating object, and we're right on the surface. So it turns out that on the surface of the Earth, our clocks are slowed down by 4.4 seconds per century because of the Earth's gravity. 4.4 seconds per century. Since all of our clocks on the surface of the Earth are slowing down by the same amount, none of us notice. We all think our clocks agree, and we all think that we're running on time. But actually, we're running 4.4 seconds per century slower than a clock would in the far reaches of the universe, vastly removed from any massive object. Not a lot, but it turns out that that's important. The GPS satellites, which are 4 times further from the center of the Earth than we are on the surface, therefore lose 1/4 as much. They only lose 1.1 seconds per century. Since the GPS satellites lose 1/4 as much in time dilation as clocks on the surface of the Earth, the GPS system has to be corrected for this effect, or their clocks wouldn't match ours, and we would get the wrong position from the GPS system. And in fact, if the corrections weren't made, your GPS coordinates would be off by a cumulative error of 6 miles per day. This means if you got home to the right house on Monday night, you'd be in the wrong city on Tuesday night, and by the end of the week, you might be out in the ocean. Now, going back to image number 4 on the website, we can see the effect of the sun's gravity. On the surface of the sun, time is slowed down by 3.7 hours every century. That is the place in our solar system which has the strongest effect of gravity, the surface of the sun. 3.7 hours per century. But since the sun is so far away from Earth, the effect that the sun has on Earth's time is much slower. On Earth, we lose 1 minute per century because of the gravitational time dilation caused by the sun's gravity. Now, why don't we have to correct the GPS system for that? Well, because the GPS satellites and the Earth are just about the same distance from the sun and exactly the same average distance from the sun, and so that effect cancels out. All of those clocks run together as far as the sun is concerned. Moving to the next line on the chart, we see that the time dilation caused by the Andromeda Galaxy here on Earth is even greater than the caused by our sun. Even though Andromeda is so very far away, 15 million miles, it has over 1 trillion stars. And that enormous mass more than overcomes that vast distance and slows down all of our clocks on Earth by 6 minutes per century. And on the event horizon of a black hole, the effect of time dilation is 100%, meaning that clocks stop entirely. There, nothing ever changes. The notion of time is completely irrelevant. Time itself stops for all eternity. Well, back here, time is marching on, and before we close, let's talk about some of the applications of GPS. And these are listed in image number 5 on the website. Well, we all know about GPS in cars. It's also used in ships and airplanes. There are many military applications, including smart bombs, and also submarines use the GPS to find out where they are by floating an antenna to the surface. The finance community uses GPS to timestamp important transactions. We use GPS to track our valuables like pets and cars. Forest fire fighters use GPS to guide crews to where the action is. And oil drillers also use GPS to identify the location of their drill sites. And we also use GPS to monitor earth movement, worrying about earthquakes. And in that application, the GPS system is able to detect earth movements of as little as a 25th of an inch per year. Altogether, all of us in the world have 1 billion GPS receivers, and we all rely on getting where we want to be, thanks to the guy who couldn't find his keys, Albert Einstein. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, you are never too young or too old to wonder why.
Don't forget to explore Robert's website, GuideToTheCosmos.com, and check out the spectacular discounts on his books that are available to you, our radio audience. Send us your questions, comments, and suggestions for future show topics. That's GuideToTheCosmos.com. Goodbye.